Good morning. Welcome to Concordia United Methodist Church. A special welcome to all our visitors and guests today. If you'd please take a moment and grab the red attendance pads in the pews and pass those down and sign them. A couple of announcements to highlight for this week. All of you are encouraged and welcome to stay following worship today for the Live Free family meal in the fellowship hall. We have 2 weeks remaining in the collection of coats. They will be distributed to students in need at Sauk Prairie Schools. The bazaar will be this Saturday from 8 to 2. If you have baked goods to donate, please bring them by 10 a.m. on Friday. If you are interested in participating in Advent study, please contact the church office by November 12th so we can order enough books. And one additional announcement, if anyone has a generator, please contact Layla Drescher. It will be for the use in the light parade. And please see her before November 4th. And now, if you please stand as you are able and join in singing our opening song, More Like You. It's number 2167 in the Black Hymnal. Please join me in our praise. We trust God, who alone gives us life. We trust God, who gives us life in Jesus Christ. We trust God, who gives us life in the Spirit. Give blessing and praise to God. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Please remain standing and join in singing number 98 in the red hymnal, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
Please join me in our prayer. God of love, you create, redeem, and sustain us every moment of our lives. In you we place our trust. When we face illness, conflict, and fear, you make us safe in your presence. When we suffer setback and loss, you restore us through your love. When our lives prosper and we are comfortable, you move us to share our blessings with others. In times of hardship and plenty, you alone are the source of the life that really is life. Holy God, in love and trust, we live the power of new life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
I invite the young ones. To come up to the front. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good.
Well, I'm glad you're here today. You know that we're going to have a meal after church today. Are you going to be able to stay for that? You don't know. Okay. Well, if you're not, We've got a little green envelope in the back for your that's got your family's name on it, and there's something in there just for you. Well, that's not true because there's one for Odie and Ava too. But you each get your own. Do you know what we've been talking about the last few weeks? We've been talking about how we support the ministries at our church. Do you know what a ministry is? Okay, well, one of them is Sunday school. Do you go to Sunday school?
Yes.
Okay, another ministry of the church is the community meals. Have you ever helped with community meals? It's a meal that we offer. Yeah, you've helped with that. Okay, have you when we sang and played bells a few weeks ago, were you here for that?
Yes.
That's another ministry of the church. Then we have others as well. We've got a whole bunch of ministries. Hi, girls. Okay? So we've got all of these ministries, and in order for us to have them, we've got to support them, right? We need some financial support for them, but we also need support like through prayer. We need support like people coming to those things when we have them. Okay? So what we've done this year is we're going to ask you to make a commitment to the church. And what we're going to ask, and you'll see that when you look in the green envelope that your family's getting, and you'll each get one as well. And it says on there, I would like to support this church by prayer, by my participation, okay, by telling others about Jesus when they seem to need to hear that, okay? And then there's also a little place that says, I will give 25 cents a week to the church. Or you can put it 5 cents a week to the church, okay? See, we're asking everyone to do that, okay? So we thought this year, this is the first time that I've been the pastor here, that we've asked the children to make a commitment too. Do you think you can do that? And when we make those commitments, it's not so that pastor gets up here and says, Anna pledged to pray for the Sunday school class. Yay! That's not why we do it. Addie said she was going to give a quarter every week to support the ministries of the church. Yay! Livy's going to give $1 every week. Yay! That's not how we do it. What we do is, when I make my pledge, my commitment, I talk to God about it. I say a prayer. That's how I talk to God, is through prayer, okay? And then between God, I know what's right for me to do. And then I don't tell everyone what I'm going to do. That's between me and God and the person who keeps track of it. Okay? So that's what we're going to ask you to do. You're going to get the cards today. We're going to ask people to bring them back next week. Okay? Because someday, I know it's hard to believe, but someday you're going to grow up. And someday, you're going to go away to college, and then you're going to come back to Sauk Prairie when you're done with college, and you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher or a pharmacist or a mom. And you're going to want this church to still be here, aren't you? Okay? And so that's why we do what we do. That's why we teach other people about Jesus, but that's why we support the church with our money as well. Okay? So I want you to watch for that. If you, next week when you come back, if you put a card in, I'm never going to see it. I'm never going to know what you put in there. That's between you and God. Okay? Will you say a prayer with me? We thank you, God, that you love us so much. We want to help others know that you love them also. Amen. Thank you. And Maria's going downstairs this morning.
In the Word of God, Psalm 49, 1 through 10, and 16 and 17. Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the harp. Why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of my persecutors surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. Truly no ransom avails for one's life. There is no price one can give to God for it. The ransom of life is costly and can never suffice, that one should live on forever and never see the grave. When we look at the wise, they die. Fool and dolt perish together and leave their wealth to others.
Oh, God.
Thank you. In the Word of God, 1 Timothy 6, 16 through 19. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty, or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life.
Thank you. When we were little, I don't know if boys did this, I suspect that you didn't, but when we were little girls, we played this game. We had this person who was our best friend and would be our BFF, always, a best friend forever. And what we did that made that really true is we did a pinky swear. And once you do a pinky swear, it's gotta be forever. Do you still do pinky swears? All right, they're doing one, yeah. We want to be certain of our friends. We want to be certain of the families in which we're growing up. We want certainty. And we spend a good amount of time trying to ensure that. There's another story from the scripture about Jesus is talking to his disciples. And you know, when Jesus, unless he went off by himself with the disciples, there would be this inner circle of his disciples we know as the 12. And then there'd be other disciples following that weren't quite as close. So when Jesus was talking, these other folks were listening in and learning and being taught at the same time. So Jesus was talking with the disciples about what it meant to confess Jesus as Savior, what it meant to confess our faith. And how important it is to do that, especially when we're under duress, when someone is threatening us or hurting us in some way, then we need that affirmation just as much. We need to be firm about it. We need to be certain about it. So Jesus is having this conversation, and someone raises his hand and says, "Teacher," now this isn't the 12, it's the disciples beyond. And teacher, will you tell my brother to share the inheritance with me? Now that's only fair, isn't it? Maybe not in Judaism at that time, but it would have been a nice thing to do. You know, as I've grown up with my siblings, there's a couple of them that have done very well. Some really struggle. But we had the same parents, so wouldn't it be nice if those who've done very well would share it with those of us who haven't done quite so well? That's what this meant. Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus is such a smart guy. He doesn't get involved in that, or doesn't get into that particular conversation, but says, who appointed me to be a judge? Who appointed me? Who told me to be your referee? And then he tells them a story.
about a man who had a great harvest season, better than he expected. And so it was so good, he needed to store these because it has to be cared for. So he tore down his barns and he built bigger ones. And he was told then, you're going to die tonight. Jesus is teaching us about greed. And at first glance, to me, it looks like Jesus is speaking, Jesus is judging this man who had so much, thinking that that was what he needed in this life. That the rich man, the rich brother, the brother who received the inheritance, what he got was rightly his. And so I wonder if when Jesus is talking about greed in this particular parable, if he's not speaking about or speaking to the brother who's got the inheritance, but he's not speaking to the one who didn't receive the inheritance. In the movie Nashville, there's a it parodied some country western stars, and there's the woman who's Loretta Lynn kind of woman, and she's got all kinds of money, but we know that she started out dirt poor, and so a young singer who really wants to make it big talks to Lily Tomlin who played the part, that's why I'm pointing to Lily, but the Loretta Lynn. She talks to her about wanting the wealth and the fame, and the Loretta Lynn character says, honey, be careful what you want, because rich is just wanting more. If you want to be rich, you're always going to want more. We don't know the situation of these two brothers, but it seems as if the brother who wanted part of the inheritance is really being the greedy one. He wants what he doesn't have. He wants what isn't rightfully even his. He wants what someone else has. And somehow we're left to think that if he had a part of that inheritance, everything in his life is going to be okay. My grandma used to tell me that she earned 25 cents a night babysitting. 25 cents a night, and she felt rich. The first job that my son had was helping with some construction, and they needed him because he was smaller than the men were, and they needed him to crawl under what was going to be the breezeway under the porch. And Devin could get in there. And Devin got paid $9 an hour for that job. And he was like 13 or 14 years old. That boy believed he was rich. The next job he had was raking gravel out of the grass You know how in the wintertime you have gravel, the snow plows put that gravel. He was asked to rake that gravel out of there by someone from Chicago. He got paid $13 an hour to do that. Then he was really rich. But that is not very much for him today. $13 an hour today would not support him and a family that he's going to have someday soon. Who we are, what we want, what we have, cannot be our fulfillment. It cannot be what gives our lives meaning. We can't let that give us the certainty in life that we're looking for. Going back to the brothers, I think the reason that Jesus was judging, going back to the parable, I think the reason that Jesus was judging the man with who had to build bigger storehouses for his grain, he was being judged not because he was a bad man, not because he was greedy. He took what was given to him, but because it was all about him. When we read the parable, it's I, me, my. It's all about him. What Jesus teaches, what our faith teaches, is that it can't be all about us. It can never be all about me. Because God may take my life tonight. Because I may pass tonight. So people, you can't count on me to be here next Sunday. There's things that we can't count on. But what this story and what the focus of this series on living free, it's pointing us always to God. That the only certain thing in this life, taxes and death are certain. But other than that, it's God. And God gives us what we need. God provides whatever is necessary for us to go from this day in to share a meal or go to our homes. God provides what we need. If we place our trust anyplace else, we're on shaky ground. You married folks, you can't even be certain about the person to whom you're married. Now, you might be relatively certain after 40 years or 50 years or 60 years, you might trust that. But I got to tell you, one or the other of you is going to die and leave the other one. We can't rely on our parents or our children. One might live to be 102 years old, like Mary Carlo did. But at some point, those children have to say goodbye to their mother, like they said goodbye to their father. And so if all around us is that uncertain, and if we want certainty, we need to look to the one who created all that is. We need to look to the one who came to us and showed us through Jesus who God is, what is important to God. We need to trust that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, that gives us what we need to go from here to there, from day to day, sometimes from moment to moment. We're going to be having prayer in a little while, and we've had Kevin Jennings on our prayer list for a long time. Kevin has struggled to become healthy. His immune system is shot, and they've decided that the strongest antibiotics they have are not doing what they need to do. So he's being put on comfort care. He's a young man yet. His wife is Kathy. I'm fairly certain that she planned more years for them. But they're facing the uncertainty in this life. We have to place our trust, our faith in the one, the only one who can give us certainty. Free to take hold of the life that is really life. Free to take hold of what really matters. When God called the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, to be a people, God wanted them to be an example to the world of what faith in God looks like. And through Jesus, God calls us, not only here, but God calls Christians to show the people of the world what the love of God looks like. That's what matters. That's what gives our life meaning. That's what gives us certainty. Amen.
I invite the ushers to come forward as we prepare to give our tithes, our gifts, for the ministry in this community and into the world. Let us pray together. Receive these offerings, O God, as a sign of our desire to be guided by your grace and inspired by your generosity. May our lives reflect our trust in you. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
And we do want to keep Kevin Jennings, his family, in our prayers. Emily, it's good to see you. Are you doing well? Are you doing as expected? Are you not doing what you're not supposed to do? Other people or situations? Yes. Irene's a trooper. Did you drive yourself today?
Sure.
The Regalas have left, but David wanted you all to know how blessed they feel to be a part of this faith community, that your continuing support of them is just overwhelming for them. So, let us pray. In these moments of silence, let us cast our cares unto God. Gracious God, you truly give to us abundant life. Most of us have more than what we need. And yet, new inventions are invented. Later models become available. Sales invite us to stock up. We can be seduced by more and more. And so we know that we need your spirit, your presence within us when we are being tempted to use well the abundance that you've given to us. Transform us that we would lose any greed that is within us. We thank you that we have an opportunity, that we have an invitation from you to share our abundance. We share that abundance in the way that we care for others. We share our abundance in reaching out where we see need in the world. We share our abundance when we love one another as you have loved us. We thank you for the beauty of this day, for the blessings that it will bring to us. Move us to offer healing, offer love, offer support to those around us and those in the world. We are thankful for Irene's healing. We are thankful for Emily's healing. We are thankful for the people that surround Kevin, for the care that is given. Gracious God, we know that our lives here are a short span. Make us generous as you are generous. Release us from insecurity. Release us from placing our trust in the treasures of this world. Take away fear that we have and strengthen us. Be with us as we leave this sanctuary and go into the fellowship hall to share a meal and to share conversation, to share our love for you. Hear our prayer. Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those. Would you turn to hymn number 463, Lord, Speak to Me. Go into this day and into this week with the good news that you have to share. Go knowing that God has created you good. Go to do good by loving and serving from house to house, from doorstep to the earth. Go in peace. Amen.
You say, Lord,
will hear.